Well, I'll call us to order then, because I know people have places to be. So I'll call us to order. We are going to defer the approval of the minutes.
There we go.
We're going to defer the approval of the minutes from January 10th, February 14th, March 14th, April 11th, and May 9th until October 10th at our in-person meeting. Do we have any public comments? If there are no public comments, I don't really have any president's comments. I know we have a lot going on kind of behind the scenes. There have been a lot of activities, and I'm sure we're going to hear more about those today from all the different players involved. So moving right along, let's move to Lori and the Health Officer Director's Report.
Okay, just a couple of updates or information for you. We are planning for a back to school health fair at Brass School on August 10th. We're collaborating with community partners and concentrating on back to school vaccines, trying to be a little bit more proactive out in the community with catching those who aren't up to date on their vaccinations. So that'll be from 3 to 6, August 10th. We have, I think, 1,000 backpacks to give away for free, filled backpacks with supplies already in them. So we're promoting it, and we're really hoping that we draw folks out that especially need to be there. Our Cori team, Kenosha Overdose Response Team, in the month of May, trained 156 individuals on Narcan and handed out 173 Narcan kits. They've done, I believe, 16, Leanne, correct me if I'm not correct, but 16,
yeah,
Cori
16
runs.
Yeah, 16 is today. So today is the 16th at 1 o'clock.
Okay. 16 Cori runs. And we've had a couple of, successes. Have I shared any of those with you? Does
no.
anybody recall? Okay. One of the successes very early on that I like to share, because I feel it's so impactful, is we went to a 15-year-old who had overdosed his home. He was currently hospitalized at St. Luke's in the ICU, and he already had a plan of care to be discharged to inpatient behavioral health at Rogers. But as we were there, the mother said, I need help. So I just think, even though we don't get those folks, our impact, it's impactful. Our wins will probably come slow, but we're also trying to connect those that want care right away when we're there to Krista Tappa, our nurse practitioner in the clinic, so she can provide some baseline assessment and see if she can provide some medication, even just to bridge the client until we can do a full MAT assessment and get them into the program. So kind of exciting in that regard, I think. Since we trained our Kenosha Fire Department, same line of Narcan training, they have successfully reversed 6 individuals from overdose. So we trained them in February, and I think, you know, that alone in itself is a success. We have that Clinic West that we opened out in Silver Lake. We have had a little bit of uptake on clients coming out there and wanting to be seen out there. We originally opened it up the first and third Thursdays of the month, and with the intent to see reproductive and family health clients out there. We've seen a little bit of that, but on our side too, we're trying to reach out to those that are trying to schedule an appointment for Vivitrol or UAs, if they live out in that area, to let them know that we do have a new location so they don't have to travel in. So I think we did our first Vivitrol injection out there last week. Environmental health is busy. This is their busy time of the year. License renewals for restaurants, retail food establishments, public pools, hotels, motels, campgrounds and recreational camps are all due. We have 1,250 license renewals sent out with payment due by the end of this month. So always a busy time of year for them. And they have started beach sampling, which we, which our lab does the sampling. We, the final thing I'll talk about is our county currently does not, or we don't have the capability with all the urinalysis that we do and the treatment that we do in our clinic for opioid and alcohol addiction. We do not have the ability to currently test for fentanyl, which I don't believe is very well known. So we've been working behind the scenes to figure out what type of instrumentation we need to begin to do that. We did have a gentleman in our clinic that, so there's two really rational reasons for this. Number one is we want to know when we're testing UAs for the courts and DCFS and all the other entities, whether or not they have fentanyl in their system. We just don't know right now. From a clinical perspective, when we are treating Vivitrol clients, we pre-screen them to make sure there aren't opioids in their system. Because some opioids will automatically put this client with getting Vivitrol in withdrawals. And that happened to us about 2 weeks ago. The client had admitted that he used methamphetamine, but that in itself is okay with Vivitrol. What we didn't know was laced with fentanyl. And so we put him into a very uncomfortable situation of, you know, not knowing that he had fentanyl on board. So I think we're getting close to identifying the instrumentation that we need. And I've been working with Rebecca Dutter in Aging and Disability and Behavioral Health to inquire if we can use some of our opioid stimulus dollars to fund these instruments. So I will keep you updated and posted. Any questions on any of that? All right.
I do.
Yes.
Do we have any idea, like, how much would this new instrumentation cost? I mean, are
yes.
we getting the quotes out?
Yes. I'm estimating $350,000 for one of them. We will, with that machine, we'll be able to do urinalysis, UA confirmation right here in our lab. Right now we send them out and it's about a week or greater turnaround time. So that may be even revenue generating for us if we can begin to test for fentanyl that way for other counties who don't have a lab. Okay. And then there's another instrument for screening, which we're waiting on quotes for yet. It's less than that, but that's the type of instrument we'd use in the clinic to screen the UAs before we treat. So, okay. Yes.
This is Rita. I'm just curious, aren't there some sort of test strips that you can just use?
One would
screen when you don't have other equipment?
One would think, but they're not CLIA waived. And that becomes an issue in our lab. So no. And we've had our lab director, Dr. Galvis, in all of these discussions. So he's been able to counsel us as we move forward and try to figure out what our best way is. Thanks, Rita. That was a good question. And I wish there was, but not yet. Any other questions? All right, that's the end of my report.
All right, so the CHA CHIP update, Stacy, Leanne, I'm not sure who's going first. Leanne, I see
that
you.
That would be me.
Okay.
All right, so for our community health assessment, I think we've been talking about this since last fall, but I'll give you a brief update. So we are statutorily required to do a community health assessment as a level 3 public health department for the state of Wisconsin. So we do this every 3 years. Last fall, we started the community health assessment with a survey of our community, and we had over 1,000 individuals participate in that. One of the questions that they are asked in this survey is, what are your top priorities for health concerns in Kenosha County? And mm-hmm. so we got a list of 10 after we had everybody's data analyzed. We narrowed that down to 6, and then we started working with local groups. We presented to your group, we presented to the Health Equity Task Force, and then our big presentation was to the Health Advisory Council on May 17th. We had over 50 community partners in attendance at that meeting, and the group reviewed the top choices. We kind of walked around the room, and we had all the choices on the wall, and people just kind of walked around, talked about them, and had good, healthy discussions, and then narrowed it down to the top 3 priorities at that meeting, which is really exciting to see that kind of happen real time. So our top 3 priorities that were chosen for our group to work on for our community health improvement plan are access to affordable health care, affordable housing, and mental health and drug and alcohol use. That is going to be one combined group. So that's in no particular order. That's just the way everything shook out. The next step is creating action teams to have these priorities worked on for the next 3 years. So we're having our big kickoff meeting on June 26th at 3:00 here at the Job Center. And we have over 49 community partners already signed up for our action team. So we're super excited. Our biggest action team, of course, is mental health, drug and alcohol use. And but we have quite a few community partners on the other action teams. Like, I was just looking at our housing action team, and we've got some local realtors on there, and some people that are, you know, more involved in the housing market than, you know, someone like me would be. So I'm really excited to get started. We'll be meeting in June, July, and August. We have those dates already set for all of our meetings. And then we'll make a plan for what those teams look like meeting for the future. If they're going to meet monthly, if they're going to meet every other month, that has not been decided yet. So we also have a leader from the Kenosha County Public Health team and the community leading each group. So it's really nice to see that partnership developing between public health and the community. So we've got leaders for each of the groups. We've got multiple leaders that have volunteered for some of our teams. So it's really exciting to see the community getting ready to roll up their sleeves and work on this for the next 3 years. Any questions?
What was that date again for that June?
Monday, June 26th. Yeah, 26th, Monday, June 26th at 3:00. Yeah, and it's going to be down in our conference rooms. North 2 is our big conference room. I can send you more information, Juan, if you're interested in coming to the kickoff meeting.
I had it on my calendar, but I just want to make sure that was so okay. I should be there.
Yeah. Okay, great.
Thank you.
Excellent. All right. Is there anything for action and advocacy that we need to know about, Leanne?
Sure. I'll give you a brief update. So thank you so much for putting together a letter. I think we talked about local public health officer authority last time we met, and this group kind of, you know, banded together, put together a letter. Julia, you wrote a beautiful letter. Thank you. And we got that off to our state representatives. And I do have an update from that. From May 17th, the Assembly Republicans offered an amendment to the Assembly Bill, Shared Revenue Bill, that modified a number of provisions in the underlying bill. So if you remember originally, they had wanted to have the local health officer time to close a local business due to a communicable disease at 14 days. They increased that to 30 days. And Karen, I can give you all this stuff so you don't have to scribble everything that I'm blabbing right now. I'll give you everything written so it'll be easier for you. So first thing was, it increases the amount of a time the local health officer may close a business due to a communicable disease from 14 to 30 days. It's not exactly what we wanted. We were hoping for, you know, at least 60, but we'll take 30 rather than 14. After the initial 30-day closure, the governing body may vote to approve a one-day 30-day extension. So that would give us till 60, which would be good. This was also increased from 14 days originally. No more extensions will be allowed. The local governing body will also still be able to approve the second 30-day closure by a simple majority vote. No supermajority vote will be required. The following language was also added to the local health officer authority provision: a mandate to close more than one business as provided under this subsection may not distinguish between essential and non-essential businesses. So we can't say restaurants are essential, but the UPS delivery is not essential. So I think that was something we were interested in having in that as well. So that's what I have right now. Our group meets later in the month and hopefully find out more information if there's anything more to be told specifically on the local health officer piece.
All right, thank you. Mm-hmm. Any other questions from people? No, okay. Corporation Council.
We had our go live date on May 30th for our Lake Behavioral. It's been going well so far. We've had a handful of admissions there. They're very easy to work with. They do reach out whenever they have questions, and I think it's been going very smoothly. I think that people are appreciating being closer to their community when they are at the facility, and we had a few bumps initially, but I think we're smoothing all those out.
I have heard, Jen, in a report that Rebecca Dutter gave last evening, that they have already had 4 admissions.
Yes. Yep. We've had 4. The doctors have reached out to me to try to come up with some of these recommendations, how to fill out the paperwork. We've had a few settlement agreements so far. We had one go to probable cause. They just prepared their reports for the final hearing and submitted those. So we're well on our way to having this be routine for them.
Good. Excellent.
And Jen, I don't think I'm being bold by saying this is expected to save a lot or gain a lot of revenue.
That is correct. So Carrie Foss has the figures. I don't have them personally, mm-hmm. but she was indicating that even just having between now and December, if we could have, what did she say, 25 people go to the facility, it was astronomical. The number that it was saving our county in doing that. I don't think we have any, we're not gaining any revenue from it, but we are saving not sending them to Winnebago.
Yeah.
If you could get that number for next time we meet, I think that would be good. I think it's important for the board to know, but also for the community to know that, that it's difficult to prove negatives. And sometimes with public health, that's what we're doing, is mm-hmm. trying to talk about the proving the negative. But it's important to be able to say, this is something we've done that will save this much based on, prior years. And sure. I think that's important for us to be able to talk about clearly.
I will have that for the next one.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Sure, of course.
All right. Anything else that you've got, Jennifer? No? For Corporation Council? No.
Okay. Nothing else. Nope.
Okay. Any other business is authorized by law?
I just want to make mention that through ADRC, I was trained last year to do workshops on diabetes. I did one last year for the English speakers, and this coming fall, I'll be doing one for the Spanish speakers. I also was trained through NAMI to do the mental illness presentations, workshops. And probably will do that, both of them, this coming fall. So I just want to make mention that I am working in the community for the mental health or being healthy.
All right. Wonderful. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Any closing board comments? Anybody else on the board have anything that they want to comment or share with the board? Not hearing anything. Well, this is a quick meeting then. If we have no other comments, then at that point, we will adjourn. I need call for a motion and a second. Diane is waving her hand. All right, I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you.
I'll second.
All right. Rita is seconding. All right. In that case, our meeting is adjourned.
Thank you, everybody.
Adios. Thank you.